We have four letters taken from the paper this week. First of all, the topic of working from home is now familiar. Glyn Linder of Fretnam is critical. I've read two recent articles regarding the working practices at Norfolk County Hall with increasing incredulity. On top of a reluctance to return to the office, we now apparently have over 100 people working while abroad from various countries all over the world, even as far as Australia. The last time I checked, time differences down under was nearly 12 hours ahead of the UK. Makes communication with the office a tad awkward. With regard to matters closer to home, the idea of returning to the office was rebutted by leader of the Green Group, Maxine Webb, on August the 12th, citing that it would increase traffic congestion, parking needs, and be a financial burden on the staff under maximum time pressures juggling with massive workloads. One question for Maxine: how on earth do all these people manage before this working from home nonsense started?
Then it's the football season again, and the video replay system for referees, known as VAR, is still making news. Jay Ray of Aylsham has his say. Many readers of the letter pages will be aware that, being born in the area, I'm a lifelong supporter of Tottenham Hotspur FC. Last season we avoided relegation by the skin of our teeth, which I didn't think we would. With a few games of the season left, I resigned myself to the fact we would go down. But I consoled myself by thinking that we wouldn't have to contend with that dreaded VAR. Now, after their debacle last Saturday that was West Brom's first goal, which was obvious to Jack and his brother that it was a handball, except the two most important people, i.e. the referee and linesman, I'm not of the same opinion, and I am pleased that we stayed up, not just for the obvious reasons. Many City fans I have spoken to prior to the incident have said that they prefer the Championship because VAR is not involved in it. But I wonder if, like me, they have now changed their minds.
Mervyn Lambert of Bressingham recommends taking advantage of the dry weather to clean out ponds. I read with interest the article on August the 15th regarding a pond that had recently dried up in Brisley, especially the comment of a local resident that they'd been living near it for 10 years and it was the first time it had dried up. Notwithstanding the recent dry weather, in 10 years there would be a considerable amount of sediment from soil washing in and leaves falling in and rotting, decreasing the depth of water in that time. In fact, all ponds, lakes and moats will silt up eventually, leaving no room for water. For instance, I bought a house with a moat in 1995, and it was simply 1 foot of muddy water in the winter when I bought it. When I cleaned it out, it had, in places, 7 foot of mud in it. In fact, I've cleaned the mud from countless ponds, lakes and moats over the years, and some I've cleaned a second time. Indeed, now they are almost dry, and it's the best time to clean them. Trust me, this is for readers' information, and not an advertisement for the work, although I do own long-reach excavators and tractor dumpers specifically designed for such work. Finally, there is nothing nicer than seeing a water amenity after it's been restored, full of water, devoid of mud, being enjoyed by waterfowl.
Finally, Bill Warner of Swanton Morley says it's too early to advertise Christmas goods. This week, my wife and I popped into a local pub. As we left after our meal, we saw a display in the entrance offering us the opportunity to book for Christmas lunch. This was followed by a TV ad tonight offering early tickets to something called A Winter Wonderland and including, of course, a visit to see Father Christmas. However, for us, we prefer a home-cooked lunch followed by the King's Message with our daughter and the family. I just hope she waits a week or two before putting the sprouts on.